This podcast is on anterior cruciate ligament ruptures, or ACL tears. These are fairly common injuries and frequently end up getting surgery. So many of you have probably heard about these. Maybe some of you have had them. Maybe some of you have already seen an operation of one. So I think it's an important topic. It's a commonly done procedure as well. So it's one of the topics as a medical student you should be aware of in orthopedic surgery. So what is the ACL? Well, the ACL is a ligament. It's inside your knee. Its primary function is to provide stability with regard to preventing anterior translation of the tibia relative to the femur. It also acts to some degree, it's a secondary restraint to tibial rotation and some varus valgus stability. So that's what the ACL is. It's something, like I said, can get injured. And I kind of hinted at it before. It's something that happens in athletes. Maybe many of you are athletes. If not, you may have heard of athletes getting this. It's an injury that happens to occur basically due to a non-contact, usually rotational type of injury. It's something a little bit hard to describe. If you can look up a video or YouTube this, or if you look at our OrthoClips website, there's a video posted there of the footballer Michael Owen sustaining an ACL tear, and I'm sure there's many other videos out there where you can kind of watch this in action on televised sporting events. This is an injury that is more common actually in females for multiple reasons, in part due to the differences in neuromuscular forces and control, differences in their intercondylar notch generally being a little bit smaller than in males, a little bit increased valgus limb alignment, and other factors. So how does it present? Well, patients will often tell you that nobody hit them, although it can be a contact injury. Frequently, it's a non-contact injury. Nobody hit them, but they felt this pop in their knee and often may have noticed something went out of place. They had to grab their knee and try to help it get back in place, perhaps. Maybe somebody also saw this or witnessed it. They will usually present with pain, swelling, usually an effusion. And you may not know if it's a bloody effusion unless you put a needle in, but the effusion usually is bloody. But on physical exam, you'll just notice that there's swelling and an effusion. The key physical exam findings are also a positive Lachman test. Okay, so this is one of the key physical tests, physical exam tests that you will perform, and if it's positive, it's suggestive for an ACL tear. What you generally do with the exam is you grasp the femur with one hand, you grasp the tibia with the other hand, and with the knee in a slightly flexed position, you try to get the tibia to translate anteriorly, and if it has a good endpoint and doesn't travel very far and it's comparable to the other knee, then usually that's negative. If it translates more than the other knee and it has a soft endpoint or no endpoint and seems to travel quite a bit when you translate it, then that's usually positive. It's something you obviously have to see and practice, but that's the general idea. Other exam findings are the pivot shift test. So the pivot shift test, to some degree, is trying to reproduce the actual injury mechanism, okay? And what you see, for instance, if you look at a video of somebody tearing their ACL on a sporting in a sporting event. So you move on to imaging. Imaging generally is one of a couple of things. Radiographs, you want to rule out that there's no fracture, you want to rule out that there's no avulsion, okay? And then you can have an avulsion of the proximal tibia, which is frequently seen, a very small sliver avulsion called a Segond fracture. It's an avulsion on the proximal lateral tibia, and that's frequently, well, when it's seen, it typically indicates that there is an ACL tear, okay? Most ACLs don't have it, But when you do see it and you have an injury suspicious for ACL tear, well, that often is a pathognomonic type of sign. MRI, however, is certainly more diagnostic because you can actually see the ligaments, and an ACL can be visualized on the MRI and a rupture can be diagnosed. Actually, more importantly, the MRI helps you to see concomitant injuries such as bone bruises, which are frequently seen, and more importantly, meniscal tears, right? So meniscal tears, which are kind of hard to diagnose convincingly on physical exam, can be diagnosed on MRI. So one of the main reasons you get an MRI when you see these is because there are quite a few meniscal tears that can occur with an ACL rupture that you don't want to be surprised about or not know if it's there or not. So what about treatment? Well, if you have a patient who has no functional instability, they get their motion back, they're low demand, they may be treated non-operatively with rehabilitation, physical therapy, strengthen the muscles around the knee, and maybe even some patients could require a brace from time to time. But many patients are not in this category, may not require surgery. That said, many patients will require surgery. So who are they? Well, younger, more active patients, patients with who have perhaps are higher demand, athletes, people who may not be that high demand, but their knee is unstable, functionally unstable. They can't step off off a curb onto the street without the knee giving way, or they constantly have to be aware of it, and are potentially brace dependent, let's say. I mean, so those patients, even if they're not high demand, they would benefit from surgical treatment as well. Now, surgical treatment typically is actually not repair unless it's an avulsion fracture. It actually is usually a reconstruction. What I mean by that is you don't try to stitch the ligament together because a mid-substance ligament tear just does not heal well with sutures. And when you do this for the ACL, as it does work for many extra-articular ligaments, therefore has to be treated by replacing it. So what do? Well, you don't take an ACL and put it in there. You take typically a tendon graft. Now, it could be an autograft, which means a tendon from the same patient, perhaps from their hamstring tendons, perhaps their quadriceps tendon, perhaps their infrapatellar tendon. Or you can use an allograft, where you take a graft from a cadaver. Now, there's pluses and minuses to both. Autograft, typically less risk for infection, less risk, you know, there's no, you're not taking somebody else's tissue or tissue from a tissue bank. Disease transmission, of course, is going to be much lower. Downside is morbidity. You're taking somebody's tendon away from them that is supposed to be there to do something. You know, it's another surgical site to some degree that you're harvesting it from, although usually this is done within the field of surgery in the same knee that you're operating on. But without getting into too much details, those are the two grafts. It's either autograft or allograft. Okay, and then you fix it, and you have to, when you do the surgery, you actually have to create these what are called bone tunnels. You drill holes essentially in the tibia and in the femur, and then you fix your graft by whatever technique, screws or whatever fixation devices you use, but you fix the graft in place, you tension it properly so that it functions like the ACL, and you know, and then you go on to rehabilitation. Rehabilitation typically starts even before surgery, but continues after surgery, and this includes trying to get the muscles back in shape, trying to prevent stiffness, and eventually trying to get athletes back to being able to play and compete and sort of learning how to use their knee with their new ACL. And unfortunately, complications, problems can occur. Technical issues related to tunnel placement. If you don't put it in the right spot, sometimes the knee can be too tight or too loose, or the ACL is under too much tension or not enough tension. If the grafts aren't fixed, they can come loose. Of course, all sorts of other complications can occur with infection and anesthesia problems and stiffness. But you know, the graft tunnel and graft fixation things are sort of the issues that are particular to ACL surgery. So that's basically the gist of it. I think if it's something you're interested in, you certainly should read more about it. Try to get in and see a surgery. And but for the podcast, I hope this was helpful for you. Thanks.